This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06. You are with Kelvin and Hezril on the Evening Edition, and we're continuing our conversation on the Sabah elections. This time, we're zooming in on the political drama following the results and what they mean for Sabah. The latest news is that GRS, or Gabungan Rakyat Sabah, have agreed on a chief minister candidate, Dato' Sri Hajiji Noor, the Sabah Perikatan National Chief, and Sulaiman Adun.
Yep, and according to Bernama, Dato' Sri Hajiji has been invited by Governor Tun Johor Mahyuddin to be sworn in as Sabah's 16th Chief Minister. The swearing-in ceremony is scheduled for 10 a.m. tomorrow.
So this ends the deadlock between BN and Perikatan over the candidate for Chief Minister. Previously, Sabah BN Chief and Lama Adun Datuk Sri Bong Mokhtar Radin was also in the running. Negotiations were intense, as UMNO President Datuk Sri Zahid Hamidi said that BN wouldn't concede to Perikatan to lead the new administration.
Now, meanwhile, Warisan President Datuk Sri Shafi Abdal has been meeting with newly elected reps at his residence in Kota Kinabalu today. He hasn't revealed what was discussed. Instead, he thanked supporters who had gathered outside. And on Warisan's next move, Datuk Sri Shafi simply said that they will serve.
Is this, you know, we have new normals and new SOPs for voting and all that, but is this a political and election new normal where results are a bit more delayed? You are still discussing who will form the government,
right,
even days after the election, and you are still trying to negotiate with different parties to, you know, come together with different parties, with different stakeholders, and with different representatives, those who managed to win the elections, to come to your side so that you can form the government. This is an uncomfortable and sort of unwanted new normal.
To that, Kel, actually, it speaks to a tweet I saw when I was, you know, up all night on Saturday, and I think clearly a lot of people were just distressed or anxious waiting in for the results because they had sort of changed throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
And someone tweeted, everyone should just go to sleep, and because at the end of the day, the next Ketua Menteri will not be decided by the voters, but by old men behind closed doors in hotels. And I think it speaks to the current state of politics and perhaps that this new wave of this desire for change or a new type of culture hasn't exactly hit home during the Sabah state elections.
Yeah, and it does feel like we're currently in this sort of transitionary period within politics as a whole in Malaysia, right, where constantly we see now that there aren't actually that many strong holds anymore. Sure, you know, UMNO on its own still remains pretty strong, but it's I don't want to say it's more collaborative. I want to say it's more opportunistic, more than ever right now, because you have to get the support of so many different kinds of parties. You can't really go out on your own. And it's like we're losing a general strong sense of identity for each party, right? And I, you know, felt that a lot more, I think, when Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim said he had the numbers, and that even UMNO was like, yeah, we're willing to maybe throw our support behind Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim.
Yeah, and it's that perhaps that is another new normal, right? That moving forward, we may not see clear-cut super majorities, let alone simple majorities by individual parties, and that coalitions really need to be formed, and lots of negotiations will have to be done even following elections moving forward. But on another note, I'm also curious. What's on my mind is that what is UMNO thinking right now? What is Barisan Nasional thinking? Dato' Sri Hamidi had initially said that, you know, BN didn't want to concede to Perikatan because it would make them look bad. They, according to him, you know, they've conceded twice this year with the Prime Minister, first of all, and in Perak, where Bersatu has far less aduns than UMNO, but are still, you know, is still leading the chief minister post there, and that's happened in Sabah as well. So I'm curious as to, you know, what implications this have this has, you know, how this might affect national politics as rumors of snap polls pick up traction.
After this, we're going to speak with Dr. Firdausi Sufia, political economist at UiTM Sabah. So stay tuned for that conversation. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:14. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Hezro, and we're looking at the Sabah elections and kind of zooming in on all the politics that's developed since Saturday. So we're now crossing over to Dr. Firdausi Sufian, political economist at UiTM Sabah. Dr. Firdausi, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on the elections? Were you expecting these results?
First of all, this result didn't come with surprise, because before this, you can see that the competition is quite competitive. We know that there will not be a clear majority. We see and we know that there are 447 candidates actually contesting in the election. So it is expected that there will be a slim majority. But even so, if you look at it, we have to be very careful. Even though they win like 38 seats, while the other one is 32, Warisan Plus, but when it comes to popularity, it's quite close, though. Another one is that we also see that this election, the KDN people, actually, they stick with Barisan Nasional, or PNBN and PBS. So if you compare with the KDN support to APCO, basically it's completely swing to Barisan Nasional, Pakatan Nasional, and also PBS. So most of these parties that contested, right, we have to be very careful and we have to look at the result. Even though they win, but does not mean that they are comfortable with their victory. Because a lot of majority, or if you look at the popularity vote, is quite close. So there's a lot of things that need to do now, especially now the people mandate is already clear. So they have to work hard, especially the GRS, where they have this the nine teras, they call it, or Aku Janji. So this is where they have to make sure they carry out. So the first test for this GRS is to how they want to recover the Sabah economy and also how they want to handle the COVID cases, which is on the rise now.
Now, voter turnout was just below 67% for Dawsi. How do you think that's affected the results?
Yeah, this is expected, you know, because first of all, this election was called a bit shock, right? So it was dissolved, not supposed to dissolve. They haven't finished the term for 5 years. Well, of course, we all know that we have this fraud phenomenon, right? So 67%, well, that's quite low. Before that, the GE14 was 77, and before GE14, GE13, it was 79. Looks like it's dwindling in terms of numbers. But this time it's expected, because there's around 200 over 1,000 Sabahan actually. It's not in Sabah. Well, 67%, yes, it's low. It's around 700,000 over actually people turn out to vote. So the total registered voters was 1.1 million. So, in the first past the post system, even though the turnout is low, but the key here is who got the majority. So it doesn't matter if its turnout is low or high, as long as whoever got the majority, well, they count as the winner.
So after a long stalemate, Dato' Sri Hajiji Mohamad Noor was selected as the chief minister candidate for GRS. What do you think contributed to Barisan making way for this?
Well, when you look at the Warisan defeat, actually, if you look at Shafi'i Abdal's statement, he said that, look, I'm the only party that have the most number compared to others. Well, he is right, though. But if you combine, say, assuming BNP and PBS come together, they have a lot of numbers too, right? So if you look at this defeat, I think it's not really a real defeat, because 32... in the state assembly, basically this is important. He needs to be a very strong opposition. Because previously, if you look at Sabah, after GE14, we have a very weak opposition. We only have like, what, 7 or 8 people actually become opposition. The rest, they actually jump ship and then join the Bersatu. So they're kind of like friendly with Warisan. I'm talking this before the change of government, yeah? So now, Shafi Abdal have a bigger responsibility to check and balance GRS, because GRS has promised so many things, because they talk about the 9 trusts or what Aku Janji, which is very big and also popular in many senses. They talk about unemployment, how to create more employment, how to solve poverty, how to make sure the infrastructure is in place. Well, we all know that Sabah have infrastructure problem, especially internet. Explicitly, actually, in the manifesto, they say that they're going to build up a lot of internet towers, telecommunications towers. So, and then they talk about how to solve the immigrant problem. And then they talk about how to get more development budget for Sabah so that the economy will grow. So this is Dato' Sri Shafi's task to make sure that they're going to do it, right? Because what they say in the manifesto is something very close to every Sabahan's heart, because we, for the past how many decades actually, we are rich, but we are lag behind in so many aspects when it comes to socioeconomic development. And this time, when Hajiji, all right, come from Bersatu, and then our prime minister come from Bersatu as well, and they say that they claim for the past 14 days during the campaign rally, they say that, look, if I become the chief minister from Bersatu then we are friendly with the federal government. So when we are friendly with the federal government, we can bring a considerable amount of development fund to develop Sabah. So this is the test for them.
Right, of course. And that was on Warisan Plus's defeat and looking at Dato' Sri Shafi. And now looking at Dato' Sri Hajiji Mohamad Noor, he is now GRS's candidate for chief minister. You know, why do you think BN decided to go towards this direction instead?
Well, this is interesting, because after GRS won, even before that, right, there is no clear candidate who will become the chief minister. If you look at the recent seats, it was like 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and there's one NGO actually released their research findings saying that Shafi was popular, right? As a popular candidate for chief minister. And the rest, because the number of respondents quite scattered, because they don't have clear who is the chief minister. But I think 3 days before the election, if I'm not mistaken, so Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin said, look, IGG will be a potential candidate for chief minister. And when he say that, so there's a lot of people actually at the AMNO Central, at the central level, say that, look, there's no consultation with us who will become the chief minister. How come he declare who is the chief minister? So at the first place, they have some disagreement. And Dato' Sri Zahid actually say that, look, I prefer Bong. But there's a difference here, yeah, at Sabah. The AMNO in Sabah is different from the AMNO the rest of the country. AMNO in Sabah, he has his own autonomy. So this autonomy meaning to say that the central party, right, should not intervene any affairs of the any political affairs at Sabah. So I guess this is where the negotiation is, right? So I think Bong somehow make way for Hajiji. Well, we all know that if Bong become the chief minister, it will be what it mean. People in Sabah call him the Duterte of Sabah, right? And he has a bit unique character. So, but Hajiji, on the other hand, you know, he has been in politics for 30 years. And then he's from Bersatu. And then again, the negotiation, I guess, along the line with, look, if you're from Bersatu, and then the prime minister is from Bersatu. So somehow, when we want to negotiate in terms of development fund, we want to negotiate other development issues. So it's much more easier for us to do that. I guess that's how it works. That's how the negotiation works.
We've heard about how an alignment between the state and federal governments would be beneficial for Sabah, but how about Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin and the federal government? How would the results strengthen them?
Well, I guess for Muhyiddin Yassin, right, and also for UMNO, I mean, for PN, basically, at the federal level. So this is when Sabah election, when GRS won, basically, this gives them a moral support, right? And also increase the number of seats. Before this, they don't. UMNO was only like one seat. Now, UMNO have 14 seats, right? So basically give them a moral boost, right? And also improve Muhyiddin Yassin's popularity as well, because he came here so many times. I think a lot of time, if you compare with other prime ministers before this, even though Najib claimed that he came here so many times before this, but if you compare with Muhyiddin Yassin, he worked really hard, you know, because during the campaign, they know that they don't have clear candidate who is the chief minister. So Muhyiddin Yassin's presence at Sabah campaign rallies somehow is important for Tan Sri Muhyiddin, for his popularity. Because whatever it is, you know, in politics, they always have to prepare for the next election, especially, you know, given our fluid political scenario. So now it will benefit in many ways. Number one, for the central, is a moral boost, right? Number two, of course, benefits for Sabah, because they've been saying that, look, we have to align with the federal government in order to develop our country. But this is true, because we learned last time in 1985, during PBS time, Parti Bersatu Sabah, when they defected from the Barisan Nasional, our economy actually slowed down during that period. Look at like 9 years, because our federation is not like the state, because our federation is somehow asymmetrical federation. Asymmetrical means in a lot of functions, a lot of responsibility is in the hands of the central government, right? So the federal state government have only limited function. So that's why we dependent so much on the federal government, especially development fund, right? So that's why it's very important to align ourselves with the federal government.
Right. And last question to wrap up. How does the fact that this is a slim win for GRS factor into what happens next or to the governance of Sabah in the immediate future?
All right. Provided that there is no fraud phenomenon, all right, it will be a healthy government and a healthier position as well. It will create more dynamic in terms of check and balance. This is so important in Sabah because for how many years, for the past few decades, we have very weak opposition. So when we have very weak opposition, so that is why we the check and balance is not there when it comes to questioning time, when it comes to questioning the policy being implemented. So this is very good for Sabah, actually. And number two, I think this is also an opportune time for Sabah, actually, to improve its state assembly because, you know, for I think in a year, they have 4 sessions and each session is only like few days, right? So it doesn't put pressure, number one, to the incumbent government. And then number two, when there's no pressure for the incumbent government, then there's no pressure to the state bureaucrats actually to work, right? To carry out, you know, all the development plans, social welfare. So I guess this is the time where you have a quite balanced government and opposition in terms of numbers. And for your information also, Sabah has the biggest number in terms of the state bureaucrats, biggest numbers. Yeah, we have 20,975 people actually in the civil service. So at the end of the day, when we talk about carrying out policy, the government, the state assembly is crucial because that's where you make policy. That's where you check and balance. Number two, to carry out, there must be a pressure for the bureaucrats to carry out the policy. And therefore, you know, we just keep our fingers crossed, you know, all this policy, what they already promised, can be carried out.
Dr. Firdausi, thanks for joining us this evening. That was Dr. Firdausi Sufian, political economist at UITM Sabah. If you have any thoughts about the elections, you can let us know. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 6:30 news coming up. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.